Hey, my name is John Elmore. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from alcoholism, pride, and this past week, gluttony. Anybody relate to that? Dude, I've had way too many desserts. In our house, we have peach cobbler, wedding cake. My father-in-law bought us a wedding cake from like what we had over 6 years ago, put it back in our house as if we needed that the week of Thanksgiving. Cookies from the neighbors. My mom, that's awkward. My mom made an apple crumb pie for my birthday, just filled with desserts. And Okay, let me stop. We have a new baby in the house. Thank you. And I have not slept, and that's going to be reflected in my speech. It already has. So, not tonight, but this morning, I confess that I had apple pie for breakfast. There, I publicly said it. This is regeneration. What we do is we come together as a group of people from all over the city, all different walks of life, some from within Watermark, others that have never set foot inside a church until just tonight. But we're coming together to find healing, not in sitting around in a circle, sharing our hurts with each other, but from a hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is the one that heals, and he's the one that sets the captives free. And so we want to welcome you here to Regeneration, no matter if this is your first time or your 100th. We're thankful to be here with you tonight and to find hope in Christ. Now, this past week, as I said, we had a new baby in the house. My son, second son, Judd, was born on Monday, on the 20th, the week of Thanksgiving. Sweet little boy. And so because of that, we've got to send out a baby announcement, right? Because that's what you do when you're a parent. You send out a baby announcement to let people know that you had a baby. In this day and age with, you know, Facebook and Instagram, it's probably not necessary. I don't see the need to print these things, spend the money for it. But my wife thought it was a good idea, so we're going to print up a baby announcement. We're going to send that out, and I'm going to give you guys a sneak peek. So here it is. Here's Judd along with Hill and Penny. And the reason why we had to do it this weekend is because, like, the holidays are upon us. Like, you guys know this. You're probably already feeling it. Like, oh, my goodness, Christmas shopping, and got to make plans coming out of Thanksgiving into Christmas. Like, it's just a blitz. It's a blur. And we had to get the matching outfits for the two big ones. And I say we. Anyway, someone had to get matching outfits for the kids. I'm like, they could have just worn pajamas. Like, I don't care. But anyway, we had to get the matching outfits, and they're sitting there in their picture. But here's what's on my mind. I'm like, all right, Cyber Monday. There's going to be a deal on some online printing. Like, we're not going to have to break the bank on printing these things up. Somebody's going to, like, look to lose some money on some printing to gain a customer. So we got to get this done by Monday. So I'm having some urgency. And I corral the kids, and Laura's like, I thought we weren't going to do that today. I'm like, no, we're going to do it today because Cyber Monday is coming, and we're going to save a little. So kids, put on your outfits. And they're like, we don't want to. We want to be in our pajamas. I'm like, put on your outfit. And so I get them in. I wrestle them into the outfit. We get baby Judd. And Penny loves holding him, so she's all game for it. She sits on the couch. She wants to hold him. Hill is not buying it. He's not interested. But we get them all three situated. Camera battery is not charged. So, got to charge the battery. Like, already it's kind of off to a rough start. And Laura's like, are you sure you want to do this now? I'm like, yes, we've got to do it now. We've got to do it before naps. This is the time to do it. I'll have time to put the thing together, format it, send it off to the printer. We've got to do it now. And she's like, oh, all right. She's on board with it. My parents are there helping out, you know, in from Missouri. And so they're there on the couch, and we start taking pictures, and we got the picture that you saw, right? Good picture. Everybody, you know, the women at least in the room said, aw. Well, here's what the other, that's one picture. Here's what the other 99 pictures looked like. No joke. We got 99 of those. And three people in the room left the photo shoot crying. And I was not one of them. So, like, I'm on my knees just, like, taking them in rapid fire. And in the background, you have four adults. You got three kids. Judd's, like, not even conscious. And then you've got the two kids, like, crying. Hill's hitting Penny. It's a mess. And then you've got four adults in the background putting on a circus. Like, I mean, Laura's like, say pizza. The photographers always say pizza. So we're like, pizza, pizza. I'm like, smile, smile. You got to smile. And then that doesn't work. So I say, Hill, do not smile. Don't smile. I turn it into a game. And he smirks. We're tickling. It's a mess. And all we get is 99 of that. And my dad is like, well, surely you at least got one. Sure enough, we did. We got one. One that we could use. One. One picture with a lot of fallout. And I told Laura, I said, I think this is why photographers get paid so much money. It's not because of the great photography, though it is, lest I offend anyone in the room. I'm sure you take great pictures. It's the stress relief that you give to us because we don't have to go through all that. Like, it was straight up crazy. It was worth the money to enlist a photographer just to not have to go through that. But I show you that. I show you the one picture that we're actually going to send out to everyone. We're going to send that out. We're going to show it to you guys. You know, that's the baby announcement. We're not going to send out the 99. And what I think is that that's how we all tend to live our lives. We've got our one that we show people at work or at home or with our boyfriend, girlfriend, or with our roommates. We've got that one face that we show when really the 99 we're trying to conceal. We're like, man, I don't really want to tell you how I feel. I'm not really going to tell you how I acted on the drive here to the other people on the road. I'm not really going to tell you what I said to my wife before I came here. I'm not really going to tell you how I treated my children before I walked into training ground to drop them off at children's ministry at the church. I'm going to hide those 99. I'm going to hide what I did on the weekend. I'm going to hide what I dreamed about, thought about, said. And I'm going to show you the one. And I'm going to smile and say, it's great. All good. How are you? That's how we live, especially in this culture of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever other social media things there are. We put out there the 1%. We'll float that 1%. And the problem with that is one, it's not representative. But the other thing is that it just fuels it in the rest of us. I mean, straight up, Google it. Facebook causes depression. Literally. Like, that's not an opinion. Researchers, like unbiased researchers, have found that Facebook causes depression. Because we're all looking at each other's 1% and thinking, well, my life sucks. My life doesn't look like that. My life's not the smiling picture. My life's the 99 where somebody's crying and yelling and hit and cussed and whatever else. Like, that's mine. I don't have that. And then we click on someone else's profile or Twitter feed or whatever it is, and we see their 1% and somebody else's 1%. And it's this, like, insidious, vicious, violent to your soul, to my soul, to our soul's cycle. And we're all hamsters on the wheel just chugging along, like doing it to each other as we're floating the 1% instead of the 99. But here's the great thing. I say that to a greater we and not actually the people in this room. Because the people in this room are representative of a whole different subset of the greater we of culture. Because the people in this room, we've come forward and said, you know what? I'm gonna show the 99. I don't care, you know? I've tried my way. I've tried the world's way. I'm going to show my 99. And I'm going to show my one, too. I mean, there is the one. There's the good. I'm not going to deny that there's good. We're going to worship and praise and thank God for the good. But there's also the 99. I'm gonna get real with that. I'm going to come into regeneration. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to let people know. I'm going to be fully known and fully loved. And I'm not going to fear what people think of me. And I'm not going to put up this false front of pride. And so I want to thank and encourage you all for being bold and honest and humble and real and authentic and in the light with that. That is healthy and good and right. And what it is it's called life living in the body of Christ. That is life living in the body. See, if we wanted to live the world's way, we'd show the one and not the 99. But we're not living the world's way. We're living God's way. We've tried that way. We've tried our way. And now we've decided, like, you know what? It's better to live under God's way, the way that he has designed it. He's my creator. He's probably got a pretty good idea of how this thing operates in light of the world, sin, and my own flesh. And so I'm going to follow him. And so here we are, one big family, sharing together and getting healing, right? People are getting set free. This is a place of revival, and it's a place of hope. This is not a place of, like, you know, beat down, somber, my life stinks. Like, we have hardship. We're not going to, like, discount that. We're not going to not acknowledge it. But this is a place of hope and peace and joy. And y'all are the brave and the courageous and the free. And that's something to be thankful for and something to that honors the Lord and helps each other. And so praise God for this family here. Tonight, we're going to talk about living life in the body, specifically from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. What in the world? I need sleep. 26 through 27. Let me try. If one part, it's talking about the body of Christ, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So my 3 points tonight, in brief, reveal, rejoice, and refocus. Reveal, rejoice, and refocus. The first part of that verse says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And you can't suffer with your brother or sister if you don't know what they're going through. And so you've got to reveal it. You have to share just as they do. And in doing so, we can all come alongside of each other and walk through that pain with each other, extending grace to each other, praying for each other, speaking the truth in love to each other, just frankly being present. But that won't happen unless we reveal the 99. And so in the same way, if one part of the body hides what it's suffering with, then the rest of the body can't suffer with it, can't suffer with that part of the body. And so here we're going to reveal. We're going to reveal what we're suffering with, whether that's sin or an affliction or a medical diagnosis or a financial hardship or loneliness over the holidays or loneliness from singleness or a breakup or divorce or the pain from a past abortion or whatever that haunting, debilitating addiction may be. We're going to reveal it, never for shame, never for condemnation, but so that the body can suffer with us in that, come alongside of us and help us and speak hope into us and remind us of truth, remind us of the promises of Christ and to pray for us and come alongside of us in that suffering. If we hide our pain, we'll suffer in silence and isolation. There's a group of guys here. I got put on this text thread. I don't even think I asked to get put on it. I just like popped onto it one time. They added me to it, I guess. And I start receiving these messages, and I love the guys dearly that are on this thread. They're some of the leaders here in Regeneration, some of the leaders and coaches. And these texts are going back and forth. And as we're going in to deliver on Monday, all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up with these guys that are praying because they know that Laura's going to have a scheduled C-section, that there's going to be a lot of just concern for her health, for the baby, as it comes forth. And so the baby was born. They're all praying for it. How's the baby? Great. And then all of a sudden, they're rejoicing with me over that. And then all of a sudden, Judd's blood sugar starts dropping. And that can be indicative of some scary stuff. And so I ping those guys again. I don't hide it. But instead, I let those guys know, hey, and the team know, and the community group know, and my family know. Like, I'm sending out broadcast messages. Judd's blood sugar level is dropping. If it doesn't, he's going to get sent to the NICU. He's going to be on an IV, maybe a tube down his throat. Please pray. And they come alongside, and they start praying. Hey, Judd's not feeding well. I'm asking them to pray. And all of a sudden, they come along. My phone's blown up. I got one guy that's still asking me about my hernia surgery from 7 weeks ago. Because he cares about me and he's suffering with me through that. And so that's what we do as the body of Christ, as we reveal what we're struggling with, suffering with, so that the body of Christ can come alongside, that we'd never be in isolation. God never intended that for it to be. There's a phrase that's used with biology, I think maybe with chemistry, certainly with engineering. It's irreducible complexity. There is a point in time, like, you've got luxury cars and they are not irreducibly complex. They're very complex. It's extraneous. There's stuff on there that is unnecessary. And then there's other things like a Model T Ford. There was no frills, no gadgets. It was straight up just a car. It was irreducibly complex, meaning it had been created with just the essentials in mind. Nothing extra or extravagant. It was the essentials. And if you removed one of those pieces, it wouldn't work anymore. If you remember, if you remove the fuel injector, it won't work anymore. If you remove the air intake, it won't work anymore. There are certain things that are required for something to work. when I was a little kid, I would love trying to like invent stuff, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I would take a battery with a paper clip, bend it around, and I would take a light bulb out of a flashlight and stick it on top and like push it together, and I could make it work. But if I take out one of those parts, it doesn't work anymore. I can't just put the flashlight or the bulb on the battery, doesn't work. I can't just put the paper clip there. I've got to have all three parts. That's irreducible complexity. And friends, that's what we are as the body of Christ. Like, we need each other. And if we try to remove ourselves or others from that equation, it breaks down. There's no me and Jesus. That doesn't work. The Bible speaks nothing of that. It's me and Jesus and the very body of Christ, of which he is the head. And so we reveal to our brothers and sisters in Christ in order that there would be healing. The second part of that verse and the second part of tonight is that we rejoice. We rejoice with others. And man, this can be hard sometimes. The verse says, if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And that's really easy where it's something that you weren't even in the running for. Like my buddy James is he's a firefighter as well as serves on the regen team. And he's trying to get the driver engineer thing. He took this test for it, studied really hard. And if he gets that, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate big. I'm going to be so happy for him. And it's going to be really easy for me to celebrate that. You know why? Because I'm not in the running for driver engineer in the Dallas Fire Department. Like, I'm not in that race. So that's easy for me to rejoice in that. But it's really hard to rejoice in other circumstances when you desire the very thing that someone else has or wants or gets. You might think about, you know, if you're single and one of your friends gets engaged or asks out on a date, or maybe you're struggling with finances and someone else gets a promotion or a bonus. I've struggled with that before. We're like, finances are tight. And one of my buddies is like, hey, I just got a $12,000 bonus. I'm like, what? A $12,000 bonus? Like, that's almost a salary. What do you mean a bonus? Like, I can't even be happy for him because I'm like, do you know what that would do for my life? Like, and like things like that. Like, I struggle to rejoice with him because of my jealousy or my covetousness or my envy. And that's sick. That's broken within me. It took us a few months to get pregnant with Judd. And I remember there were, you know, other people were getting pregnant along the ways, and there was difficulty in that. Like, we're so happy for them. And yet it was like, why, Lord? But that's our desire too. I mean, I know that everyone in the room has been there or maybe is right now, where you see or hear about someone else in a position or getting something or attaining to something or being asked out or whatever it is. And you're like, oh, but Lord, why? Why them and not me? But God's answer is, if one part of the body is honored, the rest rejoices with it. He's like, everyone's walking a different path. And everyone's got a different set of circumstances that God is using to refine us into the image of Christ. And so it's not, why not me? It's, I will rejoice with them. And it goes the same specifically here in regeneration. When someone, you know, maybe they've gone sober 1 week from porn and they've never done that since they were 12. Man, we rejoice with that. We celebrate that. Maybe someone had the strength to break up with their jerk boyfriend that was abusive or leading them into sexual sin. We rejoice with that. You know, whatever it may be, we rejoice with others. We put aside that envy or covetousness, jealousy. We put that aside. That's of the flesh. But instead, we look at the blessing that God has just extended into their life, and we rejoice with that and are thankful. And we're going to do that here more and more. It's good to confess sin, and it's good to celebrate victories and to rejoice in those. And so I encourage you to do that tonight, whether in groundwork or step group. Share a struggle and share a victory. Share a praise and let God be glorified through that, because there are many things to rejoice. And then the third thing is refocus. Reveal, rejoice, and refocus. You know, that... what we often need to do, there's so much introspection. We're just looking inward. You know, how am I doing? How's my struggles? How is my finances, my relationships? It's this inward vacuum suck of emotion and mental thought and our capacity. It's just all inward focus. There's so much introspection, and it kills us. It's the ugly side of pride, to think too much of yourself or too little of yourself, and to think too often of yourself. The Bible says that the whole thing is summed up in loving God and loving others. And so the opposite of introspection is extrospection. And I had never even heard of that word. Like, that's how little we actually talk about extrospection, which is actually a word. I didn't make it up. And it's when you think about others and outside circumstances rather than ourselves. And that's the antidote to all of this. Some of the sadness and the heartache. And I know that that's real. I know sadness is real and heartache is real. I'm not dismissing that. There are hardships in life. But when it becomes despairing and depressing, we have to look upward and outward. Upward and outward. That we would look at God, extrospection, and think like, you are God above, just like Clay said. And though you slay me with these circumstances, my hope is in you. And I have an anchor behind the veil, Jesus Christ, my Lord, who died for my sins, rose from the dead. I'm no longer a slave to sin, and I will live eternally with him. And therefore, whatever my circumstances may be, I'll walk through the fire because you are with me. That's extrospection with God. And then there's also extrospection with others. That we're just to love him and love others. And when we're doing that, we're fulfilling God's word, not because it's a rule, but because it leads to life. God's way, it says in Romans 8, the mindset in accordance with the Spirit leads to life and peace. Everyone in this room would raise their hand and be like, dude, I want life and peace, not death. But it says that life in accordance with the flesh leads to death, which is a lot of introspection. Me, 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 me. Extrospection, loving God, loving others leads to life. So reveal, rejoice, and refocus. That photo shoot, my son Hill, who's 3.5, just burst out crying, like fell on the couch crying, picked him up, and I'm like talking to him once he starts, stops. And I'm like, why are you so upset, Hill? And he's like, I don't like how you're talking to me. Everybody's talking to me about this picture. And we were so focused on getting that exact right picture that we had ruined it for everybody around us. And sure, we got a picture, but I wrecked my son, created stress in our household, all for a picture. And so let's not do that. Learn from my mistake. Learn from my mistake of just breaking my little 3.5-year-old boy for a picture. Because what we often are trying to do is we're just fighting for this perception of what we want the world and others to see. Man, let's put that aside. Learn from my mistake. Reveal, rejoice, and refocus towards God and others. Because that's what's going to last.